Christ is King. This is currently a hot topic on the interwebs and the socials, and it seems like something I should talk about since it's combining church and culture. First, if you have not heard the chaos about this, that's actually probably good, maybe better. That probably means that you likely spend much less time on the internet, which is, in fact, a good thing. If you have heard about this, you know that there is much drama unfolding on the socials, specifically around some very prominent and kind of conservative people, many of whom work at a place that rhymes with Whaley Dyer. Anyway, then, of course, there is the Yee, who seems to have his own ideas. We'll talk about all this and more. I'm Matt Odegaard, and this is Church Public. Well, again, this is Matt Odegaard from Church Public. If this is helpful to you in any way, you want to hit that like button, subscribe, leave a 5-star review. All of that really helps, and I surely appreciate it. Today, we're taking a break from the current events, but this is still kind of a current event to talk about Christ is King, especially during this Holy Week, which is after Palm Sunday, right before Easter, depending on when you're listening to this. I think this is an important topic, and it talks about Jesus as Lord, Christ is King. I mean, this is a really important topic if you are a Christian at all. And you know, this is really the baseline of what we believe, that Jesus is King, that Jesus is Lord. I was thinking of the Hallelujah Chorus the other day, and the whole Hallelujah Chorus, I mean, I'm not going to sing it for you, but you can go and listen to it on any of your music players and listen to the Hallelujah Chorus and all of the words that are in it. And it's pretty evident that He shall reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Anyway, this whole thing is, I'm not going to go into all of it. What I would rather do is go really quickly through the weirdness that's going on and get to this idea that this is the faith that we're in, especially if you are a Christian. So you have this one side saying the phrase Christ is King is anti-Semitic inherently, and the other side, which is saying that it isn't. I know. So you have these Christian leaders, quote-unquote Christian leaders, telling other Christians to cool it and stop saying this phrase, which is bizarre, like to not say Christ is Lord. I mean, that is what got the martyrs originally killed in the first place, but it's another story. Anyway, then you have atheist conservative podcasters saying this is all just a psyop to create chaos in the Christian nationalism sphere. That's really a real thing that's going on, and if you don't know about it, again, probably better for it. All sorts of other weird takes are happening on the interwebs all around this phrase, Christ is King. It was even trending on X over the past couple of days, both in America and in the world. That's how big this thing is. And again, it's not that big because it's only on the internet, and the internet is, well, the internet. But all of that to say, if you know nothing about this phrase and the controversy, that's fine. That's probably better. I would recommend, and this is up to you, but I'd recommend continuing to listen to this episode as we'll cover some interesting history and scripture to address a not new topic about making Jesus the Lord of your life and, in fact, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Amen. So, first, let's acknowledge that it is Holy Week with Easter coming up shortly. I see no coincidence of this timing. Quote, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, the world forces of darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. I think this is an important thing to remember, that the, you know, powers that be really do not want Christ to be proclaimed at all. And so the fact that, one, it's trending, and two, it's trending as a bad thing that Jesus Christ is Lord, or not really, anyway, it's just all over the place, I think is very intently timed for this high Holy Week, for this time when we're in between Palm Sunday and we're leading up to the death, resurrection, and new life found in Jesus on Easter Sunday. I think those are all really important things that are happening right now because it is right now, a couple of thousand years later. So the devil, of course, is also intent on dividing and destroying the church as much as he can, though his power is limited in that. That's another theological point that we won't get to at this point, but he is poisoning people in this intent. After all, he is the father of lies. Now, to the phrase. The phrase, Christ is King, in its many forms, is not new. This is the very phrase which caused many of the first faithful to be martyred. This is just the reality in the history of Christianity, and it has been the case for uncountable believers since that first time. For many in the Roman Empire, they were claiming Christ is Lord, Christ is King, instead of claiming Caesar is Lord. So, this was a really big deal in the Roman Empire. Caesar, in the many iterations and different Caesars that came through, Many of them said, I am Lord. They believed they were deity incarnate. And by people, Christians, saying, no, I'm going to actually follow Christ as the Lord, they were martyred and sacrificed for this. So they were told, recant, you know, cast out Jesus, say Jesus is not Lord and you can live or die. The faithful chose death over and over and over again. So again, this is nothing new. It's just happening now on social media, which is, to me, super weird. But again, not surprising because this is just a repeated thing that goes and over and over and over and over. So we learn about this phrase in its iterations directly from Scripture. So I want to talk about some Scripture because that's what we do here, current events from a Christian perspective, but we look at faith and culture in the lens of Christianity, and we have to do that because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take the Scripture's word for it. The reason so many martyrs died just because they claimed Jesus is the very fact that they knew Jesus was the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's the reality of this whole situation and has been for a couple of thousand years now. Jesus in Matthew 10 himself said, we will have persecution because of who Jesus is, deliberately and specifically because of his name. And we're told that if we confess Christ, we are counted in the kingdom. But if we deny Christ, he will in fact deny us. He says, quote, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. Those are Jesus' very words. There are many verses where Jesus is presented as king or Lord. And more specifically, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one highest above all. He just is. Here's Revelation, the end of the whole story. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, Revelation 1:5. Here's another one from Revelation, one of my favorites, in fact. Jesus says, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:6. I could go on and on for a long time, quoting you the verses in Scripture that reveal Jesus as King of Kings or Lord of Lords. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Paul, over and over and over again, talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. James does. John obviously does. From the beginning of his gospel, John 1, to the end of Revelation. We hear this over and over and over again. Here's another one. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone possesses immortality, dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen or even can see, to him be the honor and eternal dominion. Amen. This is Paul in 1 Timothy 6:14 through 16. So you see this over and over and over again. I hope you're getting used to the fact that Jesus is just Lord. Christ is just King. One of my favorite verses, which uses the word Lord instead of King, again, the same meaning, it just depends on which political system you're in, comes out of Paul's letter to the Philippians in Philippians 2. This is one of my favorites for the way that Paul says it. He says, for this reason also, God highly exalted him, that's Jesus, and bestowed upon him the name which is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Side note, and I have to do this because I love studying the Bible and learning theology and passing it along to whoever will listen to me. Thank you for listening, by the way. Side note on this passage specifically. Many who read this passage in English, I think, misunderstand a little bit of what is being said here. And it relates to our discussion today, and that's why I'll pause for just a moment to talk about it. God is not saying the name above all names is Jesus. And that's how there are songs about that. That's how we say it sometimes, that God gave to the Son of God the name above all names, which is Jesus. That sounds nice, and it is a great name, but that's not what we're talking about here. No, what we're saying is Jesus receives the name above all names, and that is the Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ, the title of Lord, the name that Jesus receives is the title of Lord. Jesus is crowned King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That is what Jesus receives. That is why it is the name above all names. See, do you get it? It's that Jesus, his name, the Christ, the Messiah, is the Lord of Lords, the title that he gets. The name above all names, the Lord of all Lords, the King of all Kings is Lord. because he is above all others, which is why, as you just heard in that passage, every knee will bow, because he is the top. He is the one above all others. And that's what's really exciting about that particular Philippians 2 passage, which I really love and some people just don't quite get. Now, maybe you know. All right, we'll continue on. Just a couple more here. And I hope you're enjoying this. I hope it's helpful to you. The very words of the Great Commission by Jesus in Matthew 28:19 reference his authority and power to rule over all. And I think that's a good place to kind of pull all this together, because in Matthew 28:19, Jesus is telling all Christians what they're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do, what you're supposed to do if you're a follower of Jesus. So it's very clear in this. So starting at verse 18, Jesus says, he comes up and says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I am with you always to the end of the age. That's Jesus' words. It's called the Great Commission, because we are commissioned to go out and preach the gospel. And that's really important. It's a really important thing to know. But in this, and in the topic of Christ is King, you can answer these questions. What does all the authority mean? What limit does that have? And the answer is no, it has no limit, because Jesus has all the authority. And if you say, well, that's just not now, that's later, what does in heaven and on earth mean? There's no limit of place or time or person or kingdom. The answer is simply, there is no limit. Christ is King now and forever. And I love that. And we need to celebrate that, especially in this time when we're moving to Easter. All right. So now, and we have to talk about this because it's bouncing around the interwebs, we come to the anti-Semitic part. Apparently, some internet people are using this phrase to condemn others and specifically to spread hate. This is obviously despicable, and we should condemn it wherever we see it. But it doesn't change the truth of the phrase, and it shouldn't change the frequency that you, a follower of Christ, use it. That's the important part here. Yes, when we see people using hateful language at any point, we should call it out. However, this particular phrase, Christ is King, is just true. The sky is blue, gravity is real, any number of other truths, and those truths don't change regardless of what you do or say or believe. It is just true. It is unfortunate that certain miscreants have hijacked this. Yes, that frustrates me a bit. But it doesn't make the phrase any less true, and that's regardless of who you are. Christ is King. If you are to follow Christ, you must submit, and one day every knee will bow. But some will be on the side of eternal life with God, and some will be in eternity separated from God. That's why Paul tells us in Galatians 3, there's neither Jew or Greek or slave or free or male or female or anybody. You are all one in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. That's Galatians 3:28. But did you catch that? If you're Jewish, great, you need Jesus. If you're not Jewish, great, you need Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are. You heard that whole list, and it's not an exhaustive list. It's an example list to help you understand that it doesn't matter who you are. We all need Jesus, and that is the solution to our problem of sin. It's having Jesus. And then verse 29, which doesn't get read with verse 28 very often, but it is really important. It says, if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs to the promise. That's verse 29 in chapter 3. So you have to understand, from a Jewish perspective, you are Abraham's offspring now, heirs to the promise, the covenant. Gentiles are grafted into his family. You can read Romans 11, which is about that. So there's no anti-Semitism here. We just continue on this covenant, and this is the new covenant that Christ gives us. We don't hate anyone, but we must preach the truth, which is Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ seated on the throne, and therefore Christ is King. To those that are misusing the name of Christ, be warned, there's a commandment in the Big Ten about taking the Lord's name in vain. He really doesn't like that, and your sin will find you out. Exodus 20, Numbers 32, 23. To those that are discriminating based on race of any kind, God hates partiality. Quote, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, James 2:1. And shortly after that, in James 2:9, he says, quote, if you are to show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as sinners, end quote. It's really important that you don't do any of these things that the internet is accusing people of doing just for saying Christ is King. And finally, As we approach this Easter Sunday, we have to remember the sacrifice of Jesus that leads us to this place. He was born into obscurity from a tiny town. He led a humble life of servant leadership and then miracles. He led followers to truth about the kingdom of God, and he was killed for these claims to be God. And then he died and rose again, appearing to so many people they could not deny the resurrection was real. He ascended and took his seat as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and one day, as we mentioned, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that is the truth. That gospel, that good news, now is what we have the privilege of proclaiming to all that will listen. Back to Matthew 28, that Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me, Jesus, on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." You can run from God, you can hate his followers, you can hate me, you can hate Christians, but it doesn't change the fact that Christ is King. This is the gospel, Christ is King, not just of my heart or your heart, but of all creation, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. For Church Public, I'm Matt Odegaard, and I hope that you will keep the faith.